Welcome back to the WNBA Playoff and Aces preview show here for Odyssey Sports. It has been packed as we are trying to bring you the best perspective and insight from around the league. And that continues with someone I can officially call a friend because it isn't her first time joining us. But we welcome in women's basketball analyst for Just Women Sports and Winsider. She's also a former player, a coach, a Hall of Famer, and someone who has returned from American soil after covering the game in Europe. Rachel Galligan joins us. Rachel, welcome back to America. How are you? Are you jet lagged?
I'm very jet lagged, but you know what? Today, I would say it's been about a couple days. Today's the first day I'm kind of somewhat feeling normal again, and I appreciate the welcome back. I'm really glad to be here and able to kind of shift my focus a little bit more to these WNBA semifinals.
Perfect. And before we dive into everything, last time we had you on, you did an amazing article and story that you did with Kelsey Plum, and that's why we had you on. And we really wanted to focus on everything that story was about because it was very important, just even outside of basketball. But a motto that we have around here is that we talk about sports and other things. And you being a former coach, I have a question for you, but first, it's time for story time, because since the All-Star break, I've been fortunate enough to cover the Aces and go to these games, and the last game that the Chicago Sky had against Vegas here in Las Vegas, I was situated behind the Sky bench, and James Wade, to say the least, was not having a fun time in the first quarter, and was very argumentative with the coaches. Or with the referees, I should say. And he probably did the pettiest thing I've seen in all of sports. I've never seen a coach do this. My dad was a coach for 20 years. It was unbelievable, but I thought it was brilliant. So like I said, he was pissed off at the refs, and there was a TV timeout. The basketball is going along the bench of the Sky, heading out of bounds. One of the assistant coaches picks up the ball and is getting ready to throw it to the ref to just help out and be a kind person. James goes, throw that ball on the ground. Don't pass it to him. What the hell's wrong with you? And other expletives. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was amazing, and it was so petty, and I appreciated it. Now, you in your career, whether it's playing or as a coach, what's the pettiest thing you've done?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I wasn't a big smack talker at all. I was one of those players that just kind of like to have my game do my speaking for me, but I guess you're putting me on the spot here. But I would say my senior year, it really wasn't even petty. It's just there was a player. She was wanting to get up in my grill early on in the game, and it was our conference tournament, so everything's really intense at this point. She blocked my shot to start the game, and I was like, okay, you know, like, respect. I respect you. And she kind of got in my face and did what she did, and I was like, okay. Noted, mental note. And I'm the type, like, you do something like that, I would go off. I couldn't help it. So I think I end up having like 28 or 30 that game. We end up beating them by about 15, advancing to the championship. and then the final, I think I hit a shot and then came down. She took a shot. I swatted out of bounds, and I just kind of walked right past her and kind of like nudged her in the shoulder. And I was like, how you like that? And then she kind of chest bumped me. We got into it. We had to be separated. It was, it was one of those things.
And then we point to the scoreboard and say, have a good offseason. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I love it. And from there, we'll transition and we'll stay on coaching, as a matter of fact, because earlier today, you broke the news, saw it on Twitter. Becky Hammon, first year in the WNBA, wins Coach of the Year. One thing I've appreciated within this, the second half of the season since the Commissioner's Cup, they've won 7 in a row. Being there and getting to cover the team is that, number one, anytime there's a run that the other team's going on, or whether it's Kelsey, it's Asia, doesn't matter who on the team, when they blow an assignment or they mess something up, or even if it's just two quick baskets for the other team and now the leads shrink to 10 points for the Aces, she's calling a timeout and she's ending it. And obviously, in a bigger picture throughout the season, this team going from a team that didn't want to take threes to breaking the WNBA playoff and just record in general, right, for most threes, and just the efficiency and the fast break and the transition and everything. What has been the biggest thing for you, for Becky this year, making this transition from the NBA to WNBA and leading the Aces to the success and into this Final Four of the playoffs?
You know, I'll be completely honest. I was on the fence for who my vote was going to, who I was going to vote for Coach of the Year until really the final game of the season. I think there was an argument to be made about Tanisha Wright. I think there was an argument to be made about James Wade, obviously Becky Hammond. For me, I actually had someone else down before Becky. And I'm sitting there and I'm analyzing and obviously watching all these games throughout the course of this entire season. Everything you had talked about, following the Aces specifically, very heavily myself, as just a franchise that I've really enjoyed watching. And I think you have to step back. And, you know, a lot of people who were against Becky Hammond being voted for this award, well, she inherited a great team. She did. But just because you inherit a great team doesn't mean, you know, they end up top in the league standings and doing what they're doing. If you really look at what the Aces have done this season and being able to take, yeah, a lot of really solid talent, not a lot of depth on the bench, but this high octane offense and kind of, I kind of keep saying, like, she's put this team out on the court playing in their most innate, pure way, you know, in the way in which these players are designed to play. Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, you know, in a system that kind of was a little bit helter-skelter in the past. It was still really fun to watch, but that brand of basketball didn't really fit the genetic makeup of these individual players. And so I think what honestly impresses me the most, not only has she stepped into this franchise and this team and taken their chemistry to the next level, from everything you can tell, even as an outsider, you can tell how close this team is. You can tell how much fun this team has, how much they've embraced her right off the bat, but how much they've learned from her and how much she's learned from them and how much she has taken them individually, you know, in their individual skill sets, their strengths, their weaknesses, and found a way to put them in areas where they can all be successful. Everybody on that team is having a breakout year, one way or another, you can argue it, in some sort of statistical category. And then as a collective unit, they just look phenomenal. It's a beautiful brand of basketball. Yeah, are there concerns about depth? Are there concerns about other areas that might end up hindering this team's ability to win a championship? Yes, but that's not the point. I just think Becky Hammond has done a phenomenal job taking an already really good team and making it even better. And I just don't think that she's gotten enough respect from the naysayers of this award for what she's done. That's not easy. And it damn sure, pardon my language, isn't easy to do in a few months. So I just really respect just her ability, not just to manage this team, but to continue to take this team and elevate them to the next level.
And also there has to be something to be said for, number one, the pressure of her signing the big contract, the record-breaking million-dollar deal, and even some of the players commenting like, okay, wow, they're getting paid so much more than me. And also just the team, right, and the expectations that they had, because this has been a successful team. They're facing the storm. They played them in the finals a couple years ago. And since before we get into this series and we're talking about awards and big picture stuff, just real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on the first round, the flip of the three-game series as opposed to the single elimination. I know James Wade made some comments about it, about he wasn't necessarily a fan. Where do you fall on this topic?
I think that there's pros and cons to both. You know, inevitably, I think I like it a little bit more. You know, obviously for the Chicago Sky, it hindered them because they had to go and win on the road. But if you take care of business at home those first two games, you don't have to worry about that. You know, so I think the single elimination game was brutal. I thought it was really a trap game. I thought that it left very little room for error throughout the consistency we see some of these teams, you know, kind of play through the course of the season. You have one bad night, you're done. So I personally am a little bit more of a fan of the three-game series. I think we get to kind of have a little bit more of a stretched-out competitive series, you know, in terms of just who is the actual better team in this scenario. You know, I get the argument of, okay, well, Chicago had to go play on the road and to win the series, but like, that's what a series is about. So I'm a fan. I personally am a big fan.
Yeah, and as we get into this Aces and Storm series, I've asked it to everyone that's been on the show, just throwing it out here. What are your initial thoughts? We've had a week to kind of dive in and think about this series because it's finally happening this Sunday. But what are your initial thoughts on the series?
My God, I mean, could there be a more star-studded, just high-octane, like, matchup, you know? I mean, this is what it's all about. I literally get chills thinking about this matchup and the possibility of it going to five. I mean, so many superstars between these two teams. Number one picks, I think it's seven. I think I read somewhere earlier, seven number one picks.
Yeah, WNBA and NBA record for most number one picks in one series.
I mean, And there's so many storylines, you know, with Sue Bird competing, and I just think that it is, I can't wait to dive into it. I think that this is what it's about, you know, like the two of the top best teams, either one of these teams could go win it all. And I think it's going to be really fun basketball. It's going to be a beautiful brand of basketball. You just have such superstars between Brianna Stewart, Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum. I mean, we already talked about Sue Bird. I mean, this is just basketball heaven, in my opinion.
Yes, it is. We cannot wait. We had to wait a week for it. Can we play now, please? One thing I do want to ask you for the Storm, and someone who even against the Aces, the final two matchups that the Storm and Aces had in the regular season, you know, Jewel Lloyd, that final matchup in Seattle, she played 30 minutes, had 1 point. Regular season finale, record career high, 38 points. So my question to you is, does Jewel Lloyd need to be the best overall guard on the floor for either team for Seattle to win?
I don't know that she needs to be the best overall guard on the floor, but she has to be there for Seattle. You know, I think she's 100% the X factor for the Storm to be able to have success. I think the one game Seattle won in the regular season, she went off in the fourth quarter and kind of had that Mamba mentality that we've seen Jewel Lloyd have. And she's been really inconsistent this season. This has not been one of Lloyd's superstar seasons in terms of just offensive production. And Seattle needs her to do that, especially when you're playing the Aces, because from an offensive perspective, I mean, again, I mean, what was the last time they matched up? It was like 111 to 110. I mean, just unbelievably, like, ridiculous scoring outputs from both teams. And I just don't see how Seattle is going to be able to keep up with the pace of Vegas's ability consistently to score the basketball if she's not good throughout the course of this series.
And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on and give me this coach perspective is for this next question, and it deals with the Aces and defensively. One clip that I keep going and seeing on social media that kind of blows my mind with Seattle offensively, they had a offensive possession where basically Sue Bird is off ball. Tina Charles sets a screen at the three-point line. Immediately, as soon as she sets the screen, Tina Charles goes straight to the basket. Sue Bird fakes like she's going to actually go to the screen, but then she comes back to where she started. Washington is confused. Sue Bird gets an easy three. So for you, what are kind of some of the things that defensively the Aces need to look out for, and kind of do they need to keep Kelsey Plum out of being the main ball defender, and some of those really X's and O's aspects for the Aces and what they need to do defensively against the Storm?
You know, I really think that the three-point line is such a huge factor for both teams in this matchup. Both teams rely on their ability to shoot the three ball, and around a 35-36% of both of these teams' offenses come from the three-point line. And I am a firm believer. I actually was for a long time, you know, about Kelsey Plum in the MVP. The ball is in her hands more than anyone else on the floor. She's playing more minutes. And there's so much on her shoulders. I do think that when it comes to, you know, the ability to shoot the ball the way the Aces have shot it this year, it starts and ends with Kelsey Plum. So for Seattle, they've got to find ways to just keep her uncomfortable. And they've got to get up in her space. They've got to contest shots. If she's in a rhythm from the perimeter, it's going to be a long series. I don't even know if it'll go to five. You know, if Plum is able to do what she does so well. Now, you're not going to be able to stop her. You're just going to have to hope to be able to contain her and make her uncomfortable, in my opinion. You know, if you catch Plum on a really bad offensive night, from what she's shown this year, that's just a lucky draw, in my opinion. You know, she's going to do what she does, and she's so smart. She's going to exploit every little thing that you give her. So, and then on the flip side, you know, Seattle relies heavily on the three ball as well. I mean, that's a huge stat. Whoever can defend the three-point line better and limit teams to one and done has a huge advantage. Whoever shoots the ball better from the perimeter, I know that sounds really elementary, I think has a huge advantage. It starts and ends with a three ball with these two teams out of how much they rely on that from their offensive production standpoint. And I think, you know, I think in general, you know, you have such superstars in Brianna Stewart, Asia Wilson, you know, that obviously the offense running through those two MVP caliber players is everything. And so it's kind of like a beautiful chess match at this point as to kind of what are teams going to take away, who's got the hot hand each given night. But really, it comes down to three ball, in my opinion, transition defense.
And
you know, that's a huge one.
And you brought up the X factor for Seattle and being Joe Lloyd. I'm wondering, on the flip side for the Aces, one thing that I kind of have some concern about is, and a lot of people have brought up the depth and a lot of people have brought up the fatigue. But not only that, going up against Seattle and the bigs that they have, obviously you got Breanna Stewart, you got Tina Charles, is not only will they get tired and they're more physical for Asia Wilson, but she may get into foul trouble too. So is that one of the X factors and things you're looking at in terms of the Aces?
I think so, yeah, definitely. And I think you've got a question mark in Derica Hamby. Is she going to be able to go? She's not been able. I think she's been out since August 9th.
Yeah, and just to let you know, sorry to cut you off. So earlier today here in Las Vegas radio, Natalie Williams, the Aces, GM, went on the radio and said that she is out for this series, despite, to your point, they said 2 to 4 weeks. It's been 15 days since the injuries happened, but they're keeping her out of the series, so...
And that's a huge blow. I mean, that's a huge blow. You know, Hamby has not had her most dominant season, her most productive season in terms of, you know, just numbers. But what she brings to this team in terms of depth and all the things that we're talking about of, heaven forbid, Asia Wilson gets in foul trouble, who are you going to rely on? You essentially are playing, your five starters have to be perfect for three games to win this thing. And that leaves a very small margin for error.
No, 100%. Do you how do I ask this question? So I've noticed these past couple of games, the luxury of so much talent that the Aces have had. For instance, in Game 2 versus the Mercury, Kelsey Plum first quarter wasn't that great. But this team has an ability to pick your poison, whether it's Jackie Young, Chelsea Gray, Asia Wilson, where one of them is going to go off in the quarter and score 10 or 15 points in that quarter alone. And then not only does that maintain the scoring output that the Aces need, but then the other player that is struggling hasn't lost confidence because everyone's moving up and down the court. We're having fun. They look like the Suns out there with Steve Nash. So is that – do you worry about, is that magic going to run out? Or is it a situation where, like, look, we're at the Final Four. We got two more rounds left to a championship. It's worked all the way up to here. I don't see why that would stop.
I don't see why that would stop. You know, it's actually amazing to watch what this team has done with – the amount of numbers that we're talking about here, you know, such superstardom. And I think one of the best things about them is they have short-term memory, you know, and I mean that in a good way. From, you know, one shot might be a bad shot, one quarter might be a bad quarter, one game might be a bad game, but, you know, they're just resilient and they bounce right back and they just keep going. I mean, they just keep going. And when it's going good, it's obviously very natural and very easy, but this is a team that will fight and claw and we'll come back, and they don't let things hold them down for very long, if at all. And I think that that's a credit to the Chelsea Grays, the Kelsey Plums, the Jackie Youngs. And I think this is what they do. And it's actually phenomenal and amazing to see, because they could go win this whole thing with these amount of, you know, just a few amount of players that are producing at the level that they're doing. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I will say I'm really concerned about the Derica Hamby thing. That's a huge blow.
Yeah, 100%. And where I know that Becky Hammon spoke to the media. She wasn't supposed to, but then when the announcement came out, so I'm trying to make sure that there's a second verification. But as we know, she's going to be out for the series. And I think Gabby Williams did not practice today. But they are going to say something about what her status is. So, of course, those are two big things to look at for either team going into the series. You're tuned in, Odyssey Sports, the 2020 WNBA playoff preview here for the Aces as we gear up for this amazing series with Seattle and the Las Vegas Aces. Joining us now, Rachel Galligan. And be sure to follow her, too, on Twitter, at Rachel Gal. R-A-C-H-G-A-L-L. Two more questions before we get you out of here. And this is something that I'm waiting to ask Chelsea Gray. I haven't been able to, or I'm kind of scared, but I have to ask you. Do you think she's human?
No, she's not.
Because it's insane. Every game for like the past 3 months, there's something that doesn't make sense. How is she doing that? It's unbelievable.
Well, and I think she's elevated her play to that next gear these last couple weeks, personally. And that's a huge sign for Vegas, because she's already, you know, everyone, point guard and all the things that she's done, her, that clutch gene that she has innately in her body. But, you know, watching her throughout the course of this season and elevating that play when she can, when she needed to, others don't, you know, she doesn't have to all the time. the role that she fills on this team, I just personally feel like she's taken it to another level the last couple weeks, and that's scary. But it's fun for us, so no, she's not human.
Yeah, I can't wait to ask her. She's going to look at me crazy, but I got to be honest, man, I don't see that in the court ever. Before we get you out of here, Rachel, it is the moment of truth. We are down to the final four. No, I'm not going to ask you who you voted for MVP, okay? I'm not going to do that. I want to know what these final four teams, I want the predictions on both sides of the bracket on who you have making it to the WNBA Finals.
Man, you know, you have a rematch of last year's semis with the Chicago Sky and Connecticut Sun. I could make an argument for either one. Part of me, man, Connecticut, I want it to be their year because they haven't quite reached that hump, but I'm not convinced that the Chicago Sky are going to let that happen with their experience, their depth. They are the most complete team in terms of everything they bring to the table, in my opinion. So I've got Chicago Sky going to the finals. Now, in terms of this one, I mean,
here we go.
I think it'll go to five. I think that Aces starting at home is a huge advantage. That's a huge advantage. This team is phenomenal at home. But they're even better, not even better, but they are the better team on the road. They've been consistently showing that throughout the course of the season. So I think it's going to go to five, and I've got Las Vegas Aces. The Vases, I like that one. So I've got Aces in the Sky in the final would be my prediction as of today.
Okay, so in your book, the rivalry will continue to grow between Chicago and Las Vegas and maybe some more James Wade antics against the refs. So I'm down for this 100%. Rachel, as always, thank you for joining us. Congratulations, officially a friend of the station, a friend of the show, a friend of mine. And to get her coverage, be sure to look her at, like I said earlier on Twitter, at Rach Gall, RACHGALL, a part of Winsider, basketball analyst for Just Women Sports. One of the best giving you the insight when it comes to women's basketball. We look forward to this Final Four, and we look forward to hopefully having the Aces in the finals so that we could have you on for the WNBA Finals preview show as well.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much. A pleasure as always.